All righty, welcome into the Patriots podcast, Week 15 recap edition. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
How we doing?
In the Patriots world, we're doing pretty good.
Pretty damn good, yeah. Tom Brady goes in to this game in Denver, and he was career 2-7 in Denver facing the Broncos, and he's able to turn it around all the way up to 3-7 now.
Yeah, right. You know, the way they won, 16-3, you know, you look at Brady's stats and everything. I mean, he didn't, it wasn't a Tom Brady game, but they won, and that's what he needed in a very tough place to play.
And it's against building, that defense.
Against that ridiculous defense. I mean, what they're doing has been building. They've been building momentum. They've been showing what they can do. Impressive. It was an impressive team win. I mean, this game was won by every player on the field. It wasn't Tom Brady who came back and just lit the scoreboard up and showed everyone that he was way better than everybody else. This one, you know, he showed that they could win games that were tough, that they need to win. And, you know, it's big. That going there is not easy for anybody. So,
absolutely not, yeah. And he, like you said, not statistically an incredible game, but yeah, he's going in there without Gronkowski against a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
Difficult environment, the altitude, the temperature, all of that, and was able to do just enough offensively,
just enough.
Basically.
Yeah.
The story might have been the defense.
Yeah.
Holding them to 3 points. They, I mean, essentially shut them down the entire second half. They didn't get a single
thing
going.
They killed it. They absolutely killed it.
There was a little inkling there in the first half. Denver was driving. I think it was tied 3-3. They got into the red zone, the Patriots red zone, and then Logan Ryan comes up with a huge play.
Yeah.
Trevor Siemian tried to sneak an outpass in front of him, and Logan said, no, no.
Yeah. All around defensively was by far, I mean, I don't know about their best game, but definitely up there, one of the best games of the year. I mean, everyone really contributed. Defensive line played really well. Like you just said, you know, Logan Ryan, he had his day. I thought McCourty had his best game of the year. He was all over the place. You know, he laid out
Demarius
on the sideline to make him drop a pass, kicked his ass. The linebackers played pretty well. Van Noy forced a fumble. You know, Hightower was a little banged up, so he didn't see as much time as normally, but he played well. Trey Flowers, is he just all of a sudden an elite D end? Like, is that what's happening?
Yeah, he's a stud. 2 sacks for him in this game. I think he's leading the team at this point.
Absolutely, yeah. He's got, let's see what he's got. I mean, this is a guy, he didn't even start. He wasn't even a starter at the beginning of the season. They just tried to work him in. I mean, he's got 7 sacks now, and he's only started 6 games.
Yeah.
You know, so
he plays on the edge. He plays on the interior. He's got a constant motor. He's got great leverage.
Yeah.
And he finishes plays. That's why he gets the sacks.
Chris Long was getting there. Ninkovich was getting there. Even McClellan, he's been playing better.
Yeah.
Sheard had
real healthy rotation on the front seven.
Yeah, absolutely. Sheard's finally playing. I mean, he had some pretty big plays, I thought. Especially there was a 3-man rush I think he got his sack on. That by itself is impressive.
Boom, boom.
Malcolm Brown got a sack. I mean, these guys really took it to him.
Yeah, and I mean, the pass rush was great, but also their running game was non-existent.
Yeah.
For the Broncos. They just absolutely shut that down basically
completely
in the first half. And then they were like, they didn't even really want to go to it that much in the second half.
Mm-hmm. You know, seeing Siemian didn't play that bad. He threw that pick, which, you know, you could see Logan Ryan kind of creeping towards that moment during the game. I mean, we hadn't had a jump ball interception in a while, like a, you know, where a cornerback jumps the route in a long time for a pick, I feel like. But now, Siemian, he was 25 for 40 with an interception, but there were a shitload of drop passes.
Oh, yeah. Both teams had drop passes.
Both teams did, yeah. But he essentially, I didn't think he played bad. I mean, John Elway, it looked like, made a good decision with the whole Brock Osweiler situation.
Yeah, with him getting
already. Yeah, exactly. But and then, you know, Demarius Thomas, he had 7 for 91. I feel like he was barely even there, though. You know, you didn't really hear much from him the whole game. None of these his catches or receptions were really big plays. Emmanuel Sanders, same thing for him. I mean, those are the two guys we said we had to shut down, and we kept them to under 150 or 40 yards, whatever it is.
Yeah, and that's when their entire game plan was designed around getting the ball to those guys.
Exactly, because that's pretty much all they have.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders was virtually shut down when he was playing against Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, which I'm sure you saw it. Some people saw it. Emmanuel Sanders tweeted after the game that his, like, Malcolm Butler didn't shut me down. Anyone in a cover two can do that. My kid can do it. But, you know, some stupid shit like that. It's like, dude, he was. What do you account for the 3 for 48?
Or what do you account for the half plays that were man to man coverage?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it was only cover two? And then, yeah. Isn't it your job to get open? You just flat can't get open against a cover two?
Right.
Like, you shut it down. Yeah, fuck it. I can't play offense against this D.
And, I mean, we don't even play a cover two for, like you said, I mean, what, a small percentage of the time?
A percentage, yeah. We play a lot of single high man. We play some cover three looks, a fair amount of cover two. We were doing a good amount of two deep safeties, as you would expect against this pairing of receivers that can both get deep.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the only thing we're playing.
No.
Anybody
can
watch that game and see a lot of man-to-man
absolutely
coverage.
I mean, I can think of one in particular where Emmanuel Sanders going straight down the sideline and Malcolm Butler made a good play on the ball, forced him really tight to the sideline where Simeon had to throw it and couldn't get it in bounds to him.
Yep, I remember
if he
that.
Threw it in bounds,
off.
Yeah, it would have been probably picked off by Butler. So it's just funny. And then, you know, they're jawing after the game. You hear about that. You hear about the Ravens jawing after the game. We'll get into that a little bit later, but it was just, you know, that makes it even sweeter.
Yeah, no, they don't like to accept the loss.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. Right.
I mean, that's why you see T.J. Ward suplex Edelman in the fourth quarter.
That was so. That ended the game.
Yeah, that was.
I mean,
it.
They still had a small chance, but it was like, dude, what are you doing? You're a veteran player.
Yeah, well, he's in the concussion protocol now. I don't know if that happened before, or maybe after that.
Oh, T.J. Ward is.
T.J. Ward is. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
So maybe his judgment was a little bit skewed.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, but
yeah,
defensively, you said it might have been the best game of the season. I think this one, back to back with the Ravens, that's the best two game stretch our defense has had.
That's definitely true.
I mean, just last week, how many points did the Ravens score? And they were almost all off of those special teams plays. I mean, the defense essentially gave up like one field goal drive.
Yeah, literally. I mean, right now, the Patriots are ranked as the number one overall defense, which is in terms of scoring points, and they're at 16 point something.
Crazy. Great. And we're ahead of the Seahawks. Seahawks have won that crown like 4 years in a row.
And we take it.
Whoa. Well, there's two games
left. There's still two games left, right. Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But last time I read that last time we led an overall defense this late in the year was 2003, and we won it. Won
yeah,
the Super Bowl, won the big game. So, you know, take that as you will.
Yeah, and we're sitting here at 12-2, and 2003 we went 14-2. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. But, I mean, it definitely got to keep in mind the fact that we were 12-2 last year, too, at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say that.
And we're playing the
exact same two teams.
Two opponents going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing is for sure yet. Although this Jets team that we're going to be facing is not nearly as good as it was last year, just saying. No.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit, yeah.
But the offense, we played pretty conservative. I mean, we had 32 pass attempts and 39 rushing attempts.
Yeah, we ran the ball a lot more than we expected.
A lot. And Deion Lewis got 18 carries.
Yeah, it was the Deion Lewis show. He was phenomenal running the ball up the middle.
He's electric.
Couldn't touch him.
He just... I don't know, maybe it's the quicks getting to the hole so much faster than Blunt does, or if it's his shiftiness or difficulty finding him inside those big bodies.
But yeah.
He was getting way more yards than Blunt would have got on the same plays.
Absolutely. I mean, he's so freaking shifty in there. It's unbelievable. You know, offensively, they started off the game very slow. We threw the ball like four or five times straight, maybe six times straight. Brady didn't complete a pass. He went to James White on
three straight third downs, it felt
in a row. He just kept going to James White. It wasn't working. James White, whether it was a bad pass or he couldn't catch it between the two of them, you know, and that was getting a little, that was pretty much the first quarter, and we're getting a little nervous. Then he started working Edelman, and Edelman had a really good game. probably his biggest game of the season, as I can think. Especially, like you said, with defense building off the last two games, Edelman started to play some good football again.
For sure, yeah. And because the strength of that defense, I mean, arguably there's a lot of strength to that defense, but they have the top two cornerbacks in the league in terms of rankings.
Yeah.
Like that Pro Football Focus or something. Those are the one and two cornerbacks on the same team.
Is Tlaib one?
I don't know who's higher, Tlaib or Chris Harris.
Wow.
But we knew going in this was not going to be a wide receiver game.
No.
And Martellus Bennett, he looks really hampered by some of those injuries. And so it was pretty much on the running backs and Edelman. And as you said, James White wasn't getting it done at the beginning, and Edelman really filled that role. And he got targeted often, very often, but he made some big catches, some third downs, kept some drives going, even drives mm-hmm. that didn't end in points. We had a few drives where we took it from like our 10 up to the 40 or 50
mm-hmm.
and flipped field position right back. I mean, you don't see points out of those drives, but that's what helps you pin their offense deep and lets our defense go to work.
Exactly.
And Edelman was instrumental in stringing those drives together.
Yeah. Really good game for him. I mean, especially he's had some struggles this season. That was pretty impressive.
If we want to talk about MVPs on offense in this game, you kind of got to start with Marcus Cannon.
You do. I think you start and end with Marcus Cannon.
Yeah, for real. Von Miller was essentially a non-factor.
You didn't hear his name once. I mean, the whole offensive line, you know, this is one of the scariest pass rush teams in the league, you know. With Ware, with Von Miller,
they got Shane Ray,
they got Derek Wolfe. I mean, they did sack Brady twice, but it was guys, you know, Shane Ray and the guy Crick, not their biggest names, but I mean, it was pretty impressive. This is the same team last year. I know the offensive line wasn't as good. Talent wise, it's about the same.
Yeah.
Just whether it was consistency or coaching, I'm sure a lot has to do with Dante and all that. But last year, I mean, we lost because Brady didn't have any time.
He got hit 20 times in that game last year.
Yeah, he was getting killed. And a good majority of them were from Von Miller. And like you said, you didn't even hear about Von Miller.
No, it was as if he was missing.
Yeah. I mean, Cannon played incredible. He was every move Von Miller had, he had an answer for it. Literally. I mean, that's, if not, you would have heard Von Miller before, a lot more in this game. He was tossing him. I think he put him on his ass a couple times.
Woo!
It was just fucking impressive for a guy that we were all talking about cutting, and now he is after that game, maybe he's our best fucking lineman.
He's the only lineman that's might get some consideration for, like, some sort of awards. He might be looking at a second-team All-Pro. I mean, the way that he's playing.
Yeah.
That seems like a stretch, right? But then you go, he just took the probable defensive player of the year and erased him.
Shut him down.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost want to go back.
What is?
Yeah, I almost want to go back and just watch more of it because, you know, everyone I was talking to, you know, you see a couple plays here and there. But he's not the focal point of what you're watching. None of the offensive line is. You only notice when they get the guy, you know, they mess up, really. But, you know, I saw him, you know, some really great technique when Von Miller was doing a, you know, speed rush around the end. Cannon was just sticking to it, and he was doing, you know, being very patient. When Von Miller tried to get at his hands, Cannon put his hands down behind him almost and just, like, shadow boxed him out.
Nice.
There was one time he tried, you know, I was talking to another guy from work who saw a play he saw. He didn't even really know who Cannon was. He just watched the Patriots, you know, didn't know the right tackle's name, not completely out of this world, but Von Miller tried to bum rush him, power rush him, and Cannon just put him on his ass.
It's like, just stopped him and pushed him back.
Like you said, that's the defensive player of the year, probably, and he just put him on his ass.
Yeah.
And in general, the whole offensive line, I mean, that it was their story to run the ball as well as they did to keep Brady from getting completely obliterated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive.
Absolutely impressive, especially given what we saw last time these two teams met.
Absolutely.
The other unsung guy on offense, I don't know how we haven't mentioned him more this season with the year that Blunt's been able to put together, but James Devlin.
Yeah.
Him, I mean, this,
he's we're great.
14 games into the season, and I feel like we haven't talked about him enough because this rushing attack is completely turned around, and a lot of that has to do with Dante Scarnecchia, obviously, and Blunt being healthy helps too. But James Devlin When they had him paired with Deion Lewis, that was a great pairing.
It's a tough matchup.
Because he can just lay that block, and Deion cuts off it so quick that he's already 4 yards downfield.
Yeah. And the thing about Devlin that's really good is he, if you watch him, he always gets somebody. I mean, he's not this guy that's coming in through the hole and just pancaking people. That'd be nice, but that doesn't really happen much in the NFL. He's going through the hole, and he's always getting the first defender. The first, you know, the first guy in the hole, he always gets him, and he's very consistent with it, and he shades him enough where the running back gets to where they need to. It's, you know, it's a luxury.
That's what
it is.
That's how you get positive yards on basically every carry, as we do.
I mean, for the most part.
Blunt has very few negative carries compared with some other, I mean, look at some of the Pro Bowl guys in the eight. LeSean McCoy, he gets plenty of negative runs.
Yeah.
Blunt doesn't, and Devlin's a big part of that.
Yeah, it was pretty damn good. I mean, you know, Bennett, he had a real big play. Like you said, you could tell he was hindered a little bit, so they've had him blocking a lot more, so he doesn't have to run too much. But, I mean, the guy keeps coming up big when we need him to with that injury. You know, Hogan, Mitchell.
He only had one catch, but that was a real big catch.
Well, he had technically two, but it was, I mean, it was essentially one catch. Yeah. Mitchell and Hogan, they really didn't do much. Hogan had a couple, you know, one or two missed plays there. But they didn't, you know, it's like we said, they didn't need to do much. They just needed to make sure everyone got through healthy, that Brady didn't get killed, that he didn't make, because of that, he didn't make mistakes, and it to basically match their defense. And we did that plus some.
Yeah, it also helps that we fumbled the ball three times and recovered all three.
Yeah, exactly.
That really helps.
Would Brady fumble it twice?
Yeah, Brady had two fumbles.
Deion once, yeah.
Yeah, the one I remember was, I think it might have been the first play after Logan Ryan's interception.
Mm-hmm.
Brady got strip sacked, and then Joe Tooney, Johnny on the spot. Say what you will, that was a good play by him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also speaking that Jarius Norwood fumbled twice and lost both fumbles.
Yeah.
So, plus Simeon had a pick.
So if you we fumble three times and still wind up with a plus three in the turnover, yeah,
it's good.
That's kind of lucky.
It's kind of lucky, but hey.
And I was really happy to see Jordan Norwood fumble that punt return in the first quarter right away, because then I was like, oh, it's not just us.
Yeah, right.
Like, this isn't a slam dunk play at all times. So, okay, I feel like we're not as terrible as I thought we were.
The punt returning, yeah.
Edelman was back there. He was sure-handed.
Yep. Gostkowski, nice. He hit a lot of special teams. He hit a lot of field goals.
He has really turned things around recently.
He's starting to be himself.
Yep. A couple 40-plus yarders.
Yep.
Real solid. All around, it was a really solid game. I mean, we weren't as dominant as we were against the Ravens, even though that score might have been even closer.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I mean, we keep repeating it, but it was those two mistakes. But we went on the road and got it done in one of the most difficult stadiums to play in.
Especially for the Patriots. I mean, this is
really giving us fits.
This is the team, you know, Brady has a history with them. This is the team that in 05, was it 05, I think? They broke Brady's undefeated playoff streak.
Yeah, it was 10-0.
10-0. They broke that. And then ever since then, it's just been a nightmare every time he goes there. It's like, oh my God, no matter who is there, it doesn't matter who's playing for them.
Josh McDaniels coaching there, and we lose.
Right. It's just, there's something about it. Maybe the guy doesn't like the friggin', you know, the altitude or something. I don't know what it is.
Well, recently it's been that pass rush, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, that's definitely been recently, exactly. But to, like you said, after the Ravens game, this game, you take two of the best defenses in the AFC. Probably, I think, outside of Kansas City. I mean, you can even argue that these two that Kansas City is third to these two teams.
I would.
I would too. And we beat both of them. And it wasn't...
pretty handily.
That's what I was going to say. It's not like we squeaked it out, and it wasn't like last year's playoff game where both games actually last year in Denver came down to, I think, the last drive, whether we could take it or not. And this, you know, we had a lead. We were winning the whole time. They tried to play catch-up. They couldn't. Our defense shut them down and wouldn't let up. You got to feel pretty good about that. I mean, that's huge for Brady, a friggin' 39-year-old quarterback who everyone was expecting the cliff to happen this year because it usually happens when they're 39.
Yep.
And he's now 12-2, just beat two of the best defenses in the AFC, and is rolling.
It's excellent. Excellent.
Pretty good spot to be.
I was reading an article about Brady, and it was on ESPN.com, I think, and they were the entire article was like, the Patriots need to plan to move on from Brady. And the reasoning they used is the same thing you were just talking about, that basically every quarterback seems to hit a dive in like at age 39 or 40.
Right.
But their sample size was Peyton Manning and Brett Favre, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you can't say anything is definitely going to happen based on what two other guys did.
Right.
But I mean,
exactly.
By the same notion.
But there's nobody else there to really compare.
Yeah, but have you seen this guy?
Exactly. Well,
this guy looks different.
I mean, we've talked about Brady so much in the past, but the thing is, you know, not that those guys didn't work hard, but Brady over the years has upped his workouts and his, you know, health and all that crap exponentially, I feel like, every freaking year. Like, he's on a three-year plan right now. A three-year out plan where every meal is prepared for him. The guy doesn't eat tomatoes because they're acidic and it's not good for your ligaments or something. Like, he doesn't, you know, to me, tomatoes are good for you. You eat fucking tomatoes because it's a vegetable. No, he doesn't do that. Like, he doesn't eat onions because there's like a certain reason with his muscles or whatever. He doesn't do any of that. And they asked, oh, what do you like? So are you more athletic now? And he goes, no, I'm pliable, which means he can knock on wood, take hits, and, you know, he's wiry or something, you know, like
he's yeah, knock on wood, seriously, but he does seem to fall well.
He's falls gracefully.
Yeah, some people really don't, like Gronk. Gronk does not fall well.
Gronk has no grace in anything he does. No. Brady is falling gracefully. He's got eyes behind his head somehow that I, you know, Peyton Manning, for as good as Peyton Manning always was compared to Brady, Peyton Manning never had the pocket presence that Brady has. I don't think I've ever seen anybody that had the pocket, at least in this era, that had pocket presence like Brady does.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers. He moves around great in the pocket.
Maybe that's the closest argument. But like, Brady has eyes in the goddamn back of his head.
Yeah.
There was one play last game where he wasn't expecting someone to get there and they got him. It didn't, you know, but
it's rare.
It's very rare.
Sticks out because
right.
If you watch most other quarterbacks, they don't know what the fuck is going on.
They're getting killed.
Behind them, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he knows the timing of when these guys are getting there and all this stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's tremendously impressive, and that's why he's at the top of most people's MVP lists right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But
you know people are going to be spiteful, and they're just going to go, well, he didn't play a full season.
Yeah, well, I think yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. But I think the best stat to show how Brady's been is his deep ball. A guy like Peyton Manning, his deep ball was next to gone for the last two or three years of his career in Denver. Definitely the last two, it wasn't there. He couldn't throw the ball more than 30, 35 yards down the field. Brady has had problems, you know, 2013, 14, 15, throwing the ball downfield. His completion percentage, whether it's because of the personnel or whatever it is, has been very low compared to earlier in his season. This year, I think he's got the best deep ball he's had in fucking 10 years, maybe ever.
Yeah, I think it's like this year and 07 are his best downfield passing seasons.
Right, and that's when he had Randy Moss.
Yeah.
And they broke the record together. So it's like, you know, the fact that his deep ball has gotten better in the past 5 years is not only unheard of, it's fucking incredible.
Yeah, that kind of goes against the whole aging thing.
It does, because their arm strength is usually what their head and their arm strength are the two things that put them under. Well, we know Brady can scout the field better than anybody in the game right now, and his arm seems as good as ever. So
seems pretty good to me.
Yeah, it's nice.
Very happy with that. The Pats are on a 5-game winning streak now. We moved up to 12-2, clinched the first round bye.
Yeah.
Already pretty happy. The Chiefs lost a tough one this weekend, which pushed them behind the Raiders in the West. The Raiders won, so they're at 11-3.
Yeah.
So we have an edge on them in the home field advantage run. So if we win out, we get home field advantage guaranteed.
Absolutely.
And if the Raiders drop one, then we only have to win one game.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good situation to be in, but, I mean, last year, same exact spot.
Yeah. Exactly. We were in the same spot, and then they dropped two. No one thought much about it, and then we ended up losing because we didn't have home field advantage to Denver, and we had to go to Denver.
A little different with Oakland.
A little different, right.
Not quite as intimidating a place to go.
Right. Absolutely. But one thing, you know, Brady even said, they asked, you know, on, you know, one of the Monday morning shows he was on or something, they're asking him what he thought about this team, if they could go all the way. And he said, you know, it's a real tough team. They put in the work. And, you know, the best sign is after a game, a win like this, all the guys who knew what happened last year, everyone, the first thing, everyone's talking about what they can't let off the pedal. They have to win the next game, and they have to win the game after that. They know what happened to them last year with it. And made it sound like they're all ready to fucking play. Like, let's go. Let's take these next two games and call it. So their mind is in the right place, seemingly.
Yeah, everybody's pretty amped to keep going, and they have to be, because we're looking at a short week. We just have to travel. We had an afternoon game in the mountains, had to travel back east, and now we're looking at a Saturday game at home.
Yeah.
Oh, is it at home, or are we going to New York?
I think it's at home.
It's at home. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
On Saturday, because Christmas is on Sunday, even though there are other games on Christmas. I mean,
are there a lot of games on Sunday?
There are two games on Sunday. There's like, you know, eight or whatever on Saturday, and one on Thursday, one on Monday. I mean, there's
what?
The NFL is just watering down everything. There's football all the time.
I know. It's getting ridiculous. What time is the game on Saturday?
There is a 4:30 and an 8:30.
The Patriots?
No. The Pats are playing on Saturday. They're playing at 1 o'clock.
They're playing at 1 on Saturday?
Yeah, yeah. And then on Sunday. We don't have to talk about your Christmas plans on the podcast here, but yeah, Sunday's going to be some great games, though. We'll talk about that later on. But basically, the Pats are in good shape right now. The Broncos are in real tough shape. 8-6, they have to play the Chiefs and the Raiders to finish out the season, and they really haven't gotten anything going in the last 2 weeks. Going to be real tough for them to sneak into the playoffs, especially given that they're already a game behind the Dolphins for the sixth seed.
Which is great. Yeah, I mean, we didn't even mention that we won. Did we mention we won the division with this game?
Oh, I said first round bye. I guess that kind of implies division.
So we won the division, and it was pretty funny to see some of the guys who were, you know, veterans. Marty Bennett, yep, I got his name right. And then Chris Long, you know, some of those guys who, I don't know if they've ever won a division before.
I think Marty did once.
Right.
He was real, real young, like his rookie season.
Yeah, so
Chris Long doesn't sniff the playoffs.
Yeah, so probably doesn't count in Marty's mind with that, and Chris Long, and whoever else, Hogan, you know, all these guys, they're wearing the hat. I heard they ran in through the locker room asking for their hats.
Oh yeah,
all pumped up, jumping and up and down and shit like that. So that's pretty cool. You know, you see these guys, these mongrel 30-year-olds, being all pumped about winning a division. So that's pretty sweet.
Good for them. Yeah, definitely good for them. I was thinking Alan Branch, but he was here last year, so he's experienced it. What were the other big games this weekend? Oh, the Cowboys absolutely smacked the Bucks. The AFC South is getting real interesting. The Titans, back-to-back big wins. They beat the Broncos, followed that up with a win in Kansas City. Comeback victory in Arrowhead in like 4-degree weather. Badass.
Yeah.
And now they're tied atop that division with the Texans. The Colts are one game back. They might be kind of screwed.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the Titans in the playoffs. That's nice.
That'd be great. Team. Absolutely. That'd be sick.
And then in the North, the Ravens. Ravens did get a win, I believe, to stay a game behind the Steelers. Steelers moved into 9-5. But they play each other this weekend, so that's going to have...
That's a huge game.
A lot of implications on who's able to make the playoffs. The Jets, our next opponent, got smacked around by the Dolphins, as they are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay was in a nail-biter with the Bears. Do you think... I think John Fox is going to keep his job for another year.
Mm.
I don't know. They showed some fight.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, Jay Cutler's going to be gone. Are you going to get rid of your quarterback and your head coach?
Probably not. That's a good point. Yep.
I could see them hanging on to John Fox for one more season. And all you people who might be thinking Matt Barkley looks like a good quarterback, he looks okay. He definitely looks okay. He's not the answer.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for you to say what the catch was.
That's the catch. He's been in the NFL for like 4 years, and there's a reason he was on the practice squad at the beginning of the season. Just saying. Keep things in perspective. But yeah, he should be in the running for a backup quarterback spot. The G-men continue to roll.
Yeah, that's scary.
Able to take down the Lions. The
Giants look good.
They beat Dallas twice. They look really. It's not nice to see as a fucking Patriots fan. It's like, here we go again.
Yeah, here it is. They got
the Giants are getting. Yep, they're getting hot at the right fucking time, right before the playoffs, as they always do when they have a chance to win it. Oh God.
A little bit scary.
I mean, you think of the NFC. Who do you really fear in the NFC? And it's Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks already beat us.
Dallas, maybe Seattle, but Seattle's had their, they've had a wishy-washy season a little more than in the past.
Yep, their O-line is still not good.
Yeah, their O-line sucks. So you got that, and then there's the Giants now. It's like a team that started off awful. They looked terrible the first, four, five, 6 weeks of the season, and now they're
10-4,
arguably,
right?
Yeah, they're arguably the best team in the NFC right now.
They did just beat Dallas.
They beat them twice.
Yeah, well, they beat them once in the first game of the season.
Yeah, that's true.
But the recent win, that's telling.
Big. It's definitely big.
Dallas looked good against the Bucs, too. I mean, the Bucs were able to hang in there, but Dak Prescott was 32 or 36. He was just tearing shit apart.
32 or 36 is what?
I mean, he's just playing flawless football.
He really is.
And this is a week after everyone was like, maybe Romo should come back in. He didn't look so good against the Giants, but that just tells you how good that Giants defense is.
Yeah. Yep.
But all in all, shaping out to be a fun end to the season.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about how I want the AFC seedings to go. Obviously, I want the Patriots to be number one. And I think probably the Raiders, too. And then, I don't know, I'm thinking about, would you rather the Steelers are in third or fourth? Because if they're in third, then we're guaranteed not to play them. I don't know.
I don't really care.
Because it's not like I don't see the Dolphins going into Pittsburgh and beating them.
Dolphins not really.
As a sixth seed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's some time to figure that out. So the Pats are now 12-2, clinch a first-round bye, division winners. We are going to be hosting the Jets on Christmas Eve and then finishing the season in Miami on New Year's Day.
That's
right. Okay. Good victory this week. And thank you guys for tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, congratulations to the Patriots that made the Pro Bowl. We got Tom Brady, Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater for the fifth or sixth straight season.
Something like that, yeah.
Beast. 2 days after he said Nate Ebner should get in.
Yeah.
And then his first trip to Honolulu, Dante Hightower, in what many of us would call a down season.
For him, yeah. Surprising guy. Well, finally, because people actually knew who he was. So
they seem to be 1 year delayed.
Usually on that stuff. Yeah. Malcolm Butler got a little bit of a...
Little snub.
I thought he deserved it, but the guys that got it over him, it's tough to argue.
Yeah, seriously. Marcus Peters has been incredible. We mentioned the two Broncos cornerbacks, and then Casey Hayward is first or second in the NFL with 7 picks.
Yeah.
And has looked pretty good for the Chargers this season, so it's hard to argue with.
And it was nice to see McCourty get there.
Yeah, his third time.
Yeah.
Second time as a safety. Marcus Cannon, is he a snub? Maybe.
Possibly, but the issue with, he's been playing his best football the past couple games. So
maybe it's a late surge.
Yeah, the voting, really doesn't take any of that into account. So
I gotcha. Okay, guys, thank you for listening, and we'll be back later in the week to preview the Pats and Jets matchup.
Absolutely.
All right, see ya.
Adios.